Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood will wash away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location on the internet where we talk about the real things that... I can't help it. I just... we had a little accident here. Coffee was spilled on our desk here just moments before we got on, and...
kind of threw a wrench into things. This may not be the smoothest beginning to a show.
As we're trying to clean up, I almost knocked your coffee thing over again, or mine, whatever. And so, hey, so we're here. You guys know what we're doing here. This is all about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound, and offering both hope and help for men. Band of Brothers Radio. So I'm glad you're here. We have a topic today that, hey, you're probably listening in and saying, hey, I want to hear about this topic. And we're going to talk about sex. Sex. What's good about it? What's not good about it?
Yep. What, you know.
But we're talking about, you know, is it permissible? Is it all good? Is it, you know, is everything in the bedroom, is it a green light? Now we're talking under the auspice, under the umbrella of marriage.
Absolutely.
Because any other sex, it should not be happening. Amen? Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
I don't hear nothing from anybody.
I'm like, you're not going to hear anything, Raul. This is radio. It's one way.
That's right. Well, anyway, so that's what our main topic is. But we always like to kind of kick things off with a little bit of encouragement this morning. I'm going to, you know, in the house with me today is Eric. I didn't even mention your name. We just...
Hey, that's all right.
They recognize your voice. They know it anyway.
They might.
So you have anything for encouragement for the guys this morning?
Sure. You know, and it's funny because my encouragements almost always stem from my screw-ups. So,
but you know, that is encouragement, though.
It is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Even for you.
Yeah. Actually, I think this was yesterday. I'm you know, as a UPS driver, I'm going to this address, and I see the address on the box, and I see who I have to go talk to, and I'm like, oh great, because this is one of those difficult people that always seems to be angry and has something mean to say whenever you show up.
Oh, you have experience with them.
Yeah. And so anyways, I'm like, I don't want to go here, you know, and I'm actually trying to pick up a package, so it's not like I can drop a box off and leave and try to avoid them. You know, I have to go knock on the door and say, hey, I'm trying to pick up this package from you. And so I go to the door and I knock, and I hear a neighbor say, she's not home. I say, okay, that's great, thanks. He says, no, she's not home. She's in jail. You know, and so, you know, this describes how bad I am on the inside. And I think to myself, well, that's a good spot for her.
Oh my goodness.
You know, and, so anyways, you know, as I'm leaving, I just am, convicted in my heart about, you know, my attitude towards this person, realize that it's been this way for quite some time. And, you know, and God moved me in my heart to repent of that and say, you know, like, well, you know, here's a woman who has gone through, you know, I don't know what in her life. I don't know why she is seeming to be so full of anger. But, you know, I know this about her, that, you know, she's alone. Mm. And I don't know anything about her past. And, you know, so... God moved in my heart yesterday to say, you know, I want you to have compassion towards this woman, because I didn't come for the healthy people. I came for the sick. For the people who are sick and you know, in need. And, you know, so I look at he allowed me to look at her as a person who was in need of a loving Savior, and to think of her differently than I ever had before, and even to offer up prayers for her, because I know, you know, I know that she's in jail. I know that she's in a place that she doesn't want to be, and you know, maybe God is using this on her in some way. I don't know, but it was an opportunity then to lift somebody up in prayer and you know, attempt at least to see this person through the eyes of Christ instead of just my prejudice.
You know, there's you hit it right on the head. To be able to see something or someone different than we normally would from our own experiences and the way that, you know, the way we would perceive it, but to see it the way Christ sees it. You know, he sees the big picture. We don't. He knows the whole story. We don't.
Yep, we,
and,
no, we don't.
You know, and that I have to remind myself all the time. You know, I take things so personal sometimes, or the fear comes up because of what has taken place before, and I don't really know the whole story, you know, and it generally has nothing to do with me, but I take it so personal, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it has nothing to do with me. How often does that happen? Does it ever happen to you?
Well, yeah, happened yesterday. It'll probably happen again today.
Well, call me and I'll remind you, okay? That's not about you.
Amen.
As it's not about any of us. It's
so, yeah, so I guess my encouragement is for the men, I would just encourage them to, you know, to put aside the prejudice and try mm-hmm. to really see people through the eyes of Christ.
Amen. I like that. That's good. Now, these guys, you know, they're waiting to hear. They say, come on, let's get on. You guys are talking about something I already know about. No, come on. Come on. Step back a moment. Take a deep breath. Anyway, so you gave me this topic. You wanted to talk about this sort of thing. You send me a text, says, let's talk about sex. And I'm sitting there, I start laughing right off the bat. I know what you're talking about, but it's so funny. If somebody else were to see that text, they'd go, oh, man, Eric and Raul, what is going on here?
This text will self-destruct in 5 seconds.
Or Raul will, whatever. But in either case, this is something that is so prevalent in our lives. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
Sex is something that has become an idol, has become a passion, has become a god to us in some cases, right? And we feed it and we nurture it and we desire more of it, and we just, it's just all what it is. Men are designed to have sex because that's the way God had designed us, to be able to procreate, all right? And he gave us a receptacle to receive it, and that's a woman, okay? Now, before you sit there and go, oh, man, what's he talking about? Well, that's, read Genesis 1 through 1:28, you know, through the very beginning. That's exactly what he, you know, that we were designed for, okay? But truly, the purpose, our purpose is to glorify God for eternity, okay? But he wanted more of us, and the only way of being able to do that is to have one that would be able to give and the other one that to receive, and then procreation takes place.
Well, thanks,
and that's
Raul.
The end of the story.
Well, you see, there's a real stigma even inside the church, though, about, you know, talking about sex.
Oh, yeah.
So you really don't hear about it much. But you know what? On this radio show, we have a platform where we can go ahead and talk about these things and hopefully offer a little bit of insight and help to the guys out there. Well, you know, help, I'm not.
Well, you know, and we have the filthy women that are listening too, but we talk primarily to men, so we're not being disrespectful to you that are listening that are not of male gender, but we are speaking to the men. That's what this show is all about. And so, anyway, we'll see how many emails you get after the show.
You know, we might get some because I might make some people mad. We, you know. Who knows?
Okay. So but, how did you want to kick this thing off? Should we talk about
I want to kind of lay the foundation because, you know, we already talked about, you know, the fact that God created man and woman, created us to be in this sexual relationship.
Yes.
But it also has to be understood that it's within the bounds of marriage.
Yes.
You know, Jesus himself said, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female and said, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh?
Yeah, believe and cleave.
Yeah, and if you really look at that closely, there's a lot of information in that statement because, for one, it's singular, mm-hmm. okay? There's one man and there's one woman in the statement, mm-hmm. And there is marriage that comes before the intimacy of sex.
Yes.
You know, so we have to lay that foundation. We have to come right out and say that that biblical sex is inside the confines of marriage. It mm-hmm. always is.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Otherwise, it's a sin.
It is.
Plain and simple. And that comes into the neighborhood of sexual immorality. Okay, when you read so much about that, Paul talks about it an awful lot in the New Testament. They talk about it a lot, even in the Old Testament, but it's more precise in the sense where Paul talks about it, not just Paul, but others, authors also in the books. And yet that is something that that immorality, that sin itself has turned into so much to where it affects so many people to, if not everybody, to a certain degree. Right? Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean,
well, because we're designed as, you know, these biological creations.
Yes.
And we have all the desires and, you know, the hormones and all that stuff that goes along with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we have, you know, both the cravings of the spirit and we have the cravings of the flesh. And,
absolutely.
You know, it's powerful.
Yes. And God wanted a lot of that we're designed that way, not to be immoral, but to be able to procreate, same thing
yeah.
we talked about,
and to be able to experience, you know, this pleasure relationship with the one that he has given to. It's supposed to be fun,
exactly, and that's a promise. I mean, he's wanting us to have joy and have it to the fullest, right? To enjoy life, and he says, if you do it my way, I'm going to give it to you, and mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to allow this to take place and with the right person, and. You know, and I'm just going to just be smiling and grinning.
Yeah.
Not, you know, my point being is that he's a loving father. He wants to give the very best to those that he created, his children, right?
Yeah. And, you know, I don't think he really needed to command it, but he did.
Yeah.
You know, but I shouldn't say it that way.
I'm backing away from you. You're closer to the window than I am.
No, he did. He said,
yeah.
You know, be fruitful and multiply.
Yes.
And that's the second command that he gave to Adam.
Yep.
The first one was work.
Yes.
So apparently we have to go to work first. Then
to be able
home.
To do all this other stuff. Yes. So work is important. You know, a man has to feel like he has a purpose on this earth. Okay. Yes, we may have... an everlasting purpose, you know, that God had created us to be an eternal being, because we are going to live for eternity, but where we live is determined by how we live on this earth right now, okay?
Yeah, and who we live for.
Yeah, exactly. Well, all of that, you know, so,
yeah.
But coming back down to this thing on sex, I mean, so often, and I'm just going to say this, Debbie and I, we, you know, she has the women's ministry, I have men's ministry. Sometimes we meet with couples and with individuals. And this is something that is, it's more prevalent than most people are willing to admit, okay, that there's challenges in the bedroom,
mm-hmm.
okay? And so often, you know, we're not alone. It may just be the two of you in the room, but you're not alone. You have your experiences, you have your fears, as mm-hmm. The other person does too, as she does also. And you try to bring it all together to be able to enjoy each other, whether it's for procreation or just to enjoy the fact that you're married to the woman that God had given you, can bring so much. It's so sensitive in areas where just the smallest situation or statement that's made or not made or whatever can actually bring the whole house down, so to speak.
Yeah.
And
so that's why I think
it's
important for us to, you know, address these issues today and you know, talk about these things. Because, yeah, you know, it's a wonderful thing. Solomon, I love this. If you want a biblical perspective on sex, read the book Songs of Solomon. You read that and you're like, this is in the Bible?
Yes. And that is actually, you know, it's meant for a husband and wife to be able to read together, I believe. The whole Bible is a love story, but you get to the Song of Solomon. That is truly, it just, you can't help but what you read kind of get, it starts to percolate the adrenaline and all the other things within our body to kind of get, oh, wow, you know,
yeah.
This is good, you know.
Yeah, it can. So anyways, with that, you know, like what, we kind of have these different sides of the scale, right? You have we have people who say, okay, we're married now, green light, anything goes in the bedroom, right? And then there's, you know, the other side of the spectrum where it's, you know, very prudish, and there's like rules after rule after rule after rule after rule, you know. So what I kind of want to do here is get people to encourage you to be communicating with your spouse and to be able to, you know, to work
that... Stop here for a moment here. Communicate. Serious.
Yeah, communicate.
You gotta,
Raul,
talk with each other. You've got to be able to find out, make sure everyone's kind of okay with everything that's going to be taking place, or that we're okay with each other.
Absolutely.
This is not just about me.
Well, we'd like to think that it is. No, not only.
And you know, I'm being
facetious
in a sense, but truly, and I say that because for myself, my own experiences, and they're not the best of experiences on the ones that I'm thinking of, but it was all about me, that I was going to get what I wanted and desired. I was going to be able to have my satisfaction. I was going to be able to, you know, just be able to be smiling and looking forward to the cigarette afterwards, right?
Type
of thing. And
we have these ideas about, you know, what it is that we want to do. You know, we've seen the videos, right? We've indulged, for most men, I would say, have indulged in pornography. I'm not going to put every man in that basket because that wouldn't be fair to do. You know, but we're all, we're inundated from the world giving us all these images and saying, you know, that this is okay. And then we get married and we say, hey, honey, I want you to do what I saw this other person do.
Yeah.
Or
maybe you don't even say that. You just try to make it sound
it's inside your head.
Yes.
And you'd would be coercive.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk about that just for a moment here, because that's a huge thing. And the reason I was being facetious about the communication is because when we get into this place where, let's just say that you've been pure before your marriage, okay, and that now you're going to come together, not only as husband and wife, but now, you know, physically. And there's so many doubts and questions and concerns of your own, much less asking her, is this okay? Sometimes you don't care. And it really depends on your age and what time of your life that you're actually, you know, how, you know, your age, basically, how you handle this sort of situation. Because you come to this with baggage. Mm-hmm. We come with our sins that maybe have been forgiven, but the memories are there on things that have taken place and what has happened. And it's difficult sometimes to separate all of that. Now, before we go any further into this, we need to remember some of the things that we're doing here we're doing a radio show. We have sponsors. We need to be able to do
But I've got so much to say.
I know. Well,
but
hang
I'll
on
have to
that.
Wait until after the marriage.
I know. You have to wait until after the marriage. Just hang on for a moment here. We're going to be talking about this. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
No sugarcoating here. It's real talk about real issues for real men. Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
I don't know about your body, but my body loves protein. That's right. And when I think about delicious protein, I think about Hempler's pepper bacon, Hempler's hams, Hempler's bun buster hot dogs, Hempler's chorizo, Hempler's chicken sausage. It's all so delicious, and I don't have to worry about extra fillers. The entire Hempler collection of smoked meats is completely free of allergens, gluten, and MSG, and is made with care from their family to yours, using the Hempler family tradition of slowly curing, cooking, and smoking their meat naturally over hardwoods. To learn where you can purchase your own Hempler's meat, visit Hempler's.com.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. Okay, now before we go any further, I know we opened up in prayer before we get going and everything, but I got some scripture. I just want to just read this before we go any further here. You know, Paul talks about it. We mentioned about it, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, this is where I'll start. Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Food for the stomach and the stomach for food. But God will destroy them both. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And that's one of the things I just want to just say that that's what I believe. I'm almost certain. I'm not necessarily assuming this. I know this, that Eric and I both feel that that is so true. Mm-hmm. And that is what part of the foundation of our belief in our walk with Christ is that he has given us these bodies. These are his. They were paid for, okay? And the Holy Spirit lives within this temple. God himself, his spirit, lives within us because we've accepted him as not only our Savior, but our Lord. And yeah. You know what? Let me tell you something. If I really felt that early on in my life, I probably could have avoided so many things.
Yeah. Amen.
Okay.
Big amen.
Of falling
to that.
Into traps there, you know, of realizing that. And looking back, it was very shameful for me. It was embarrassing between me and the Lord. I know that he knew these things. And yet, in looking back, going, oh my God. I can't believe that I actually see. There's something that in our own heads, that when we're in darkness, in a sense, I mean, literally in darkness, in a room with a woman, our wife, or maybe someone else, it's like nobody sees. So it must be okay. You know, there's something about night vision goggles. I think God had those long before they were invented by man. And they're very clear. So you cannot hide anywhere, right?
No, you can't.
And even the ones that used to be in the comic books that you can see through the walls, right? Yeah.
I think it says somewhere in there that darkness is as light to God.
Yes.
There's nothing that's hidden from him. And I like that you bring up that scripture because it talks about not everything is beneficial.
Yes.
Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. And it's this way in the marriage bed as well.
Absolutely.
Because there are, you know, like you said, we bring things in, we bring expectations, we try to coerce, you know, and but well, the,
and justify it. And behavior,
and justify it
because, now
yeah, and you know, well, hey, I'm the guy, I'm the head, so you need to do what I say, right? But that's not the idea at all. The idea of headship is a spiritual headship. It's leading your family in the following of Christ, and in that, you know, we're in that verse that you're talking about. Not everything is beneficial.
Yes,
you know, we bring things into the bedroom, and we place expectations on somebody. But you know, if your wife is not comfortable with that, with doing what you're asking her to do, well, then you're not enjoying the fullness of the sexual union because you have one person who's not on board.
Right.
Right. So I usually refer to this as the lowest common denominator.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, you know, transpires in the bedroom, if there's one of you that's not comfortable with it, then both of you don't do it, and neither one of you demands it from the other. Because this is supposed to be, you know, a wonderful, pleasurable union, you know, that is above reproach.
Yes.
Right? But then when we go in and we say, you know, like, you know, usually it comes from stuff that we've brought in, some
yes.
baggage that we've brought in.
Right.
And, you know, and we place this expectations and I say, I want you to do this. Well, you know, she may not even say that she doesn't want to do it. But, mm-hmm. you know, there's usually clues, mm-hmm. you know, hesitations, a little look in the eye. So, you know, and so I want to encourage the guys to, you know, to be... And this is where the communication comes in. Mm-hmm. You know, you can say, are you comfortable with this?
Yes, yes.
You know
you're going into an area, you're doing really well with being able to explain this in a manner that it's understood. And I believe it's understood because I believe that the Holy Spirit's working on the hearts of the men that are listening to this show right now, that there's conviction that's taking place. And there's even those who are saying, praise God that I do this with my wife, that I actually honor her. You know, when Jesus says that we are to love our wives as he loves the church, okay, that means he honors them. Now, if you start taking that and trying to justify it that, but she's supposed to do as I say, now you're playing God. What does the Bible say about being God, playing God, making yourself higher than anyone else?
Isn't that the original sin?
Exactly.
That Adam and Eve wanted to be like God, to know good from evil, so
exactly.
they disobeyed his command about eating the apple.
Absolutely.
You know, here we are. We're right back in the garden again, aren't we?
Yes, because that's where it began, and that's where all of a sudden there's so much that needs to take place. You know, we think back in our readings and reading in Genesis, when it talks about that, you know, here they are, you know, man and woman. And Adam was already alive. He's having challenges with naming animals and stuff. And, you know, and God said, you know what? I'm going to get you to help me. Go to sleep right now, you know. And then he wakes up, and now there's a woman in front of him. And you know that he didn't have to sit there and think very much other than, whoa, I can't imagine what he must have thought. Now, get your sexual thoughts out of your head, in a sense. But there's a certain excitement that actually took place, okay? God just gifted him a woman, okay?
Yeah. And God created the mind of man, and he created woman in such a way that she would be attractive to him.
Yes.
And that would be Adam's response right from the beginning, wow, God, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
Yes, yes.
That's the way that we're designed.
Yes, exactly. And as a result of that, you know, we sit there and we go, okay, you know what? God's saying, you can have all of this. Just don't do this, right? And he does the same thing with us, you know, in our relationship, in our marriage vows with our wives. You can have all of this. You can enjoy all of the blessings that I give you. As husband and wife, just don't do this, okay? And yes, that tree of that where the fruit was that they ate is the same as the sins that are luring us on a daily basis, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to eat of this apple or, you know, this fruit or whatever, and then go from there? So Yes, we're trying to simplify it in a sense because it's so important. Because when, as you had said earlier, in communication, you know, one of the key things I think is the fact that we not only hold our wife, right, and say that, you know, I love you and, you know, you're great, you mean so much to me, and she's maybe feeling the same thing. There is nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with this as a Christian man, as a spiritual head of your home, to say aloud with your wife, thank you, Lord, for my wife. Thank you, Lord, for my wife. There is absolutely nothing wrong with that because he sees everything that's going on. So why not bless him? You're not going to get down in prayer and say, let's pray together. You may, nothing wrong with that, but it may not be that proper timing. It may not feel good to do that for whatever reason. But to start in prayer by just acknowledging his presence is huge. And let me tell you, your wife is going to hear that, and she's going to feel even more comfortable with you when she knows that you're truly meaning what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord, for my wife.
Absolutely. I have absolutely no problem with intermingling prayer and sex.
Absolutely.
You know, it's nothing that is going on is hidden from God.
That's right.
You know, and to acknowledge his presence, even in that union, I think is beautiful. And I love the way you say it. Just thank you, Lord, for my wife. It doesn't have mm-hmm. to be any more
yes.
complex than that.
No.
It doesn't have to be
he knows our
half
heart.
An hour of on your knees together
yeah.
Beforehand, you know.
Exactly.
If that's your dynamic inside of your marriage, great. I don't yes. have a problem with that. I yes. love it. But
he knows our heart.
To acknowledge the presence of God and to seek to honor him.
See, here's part of the problem that we have with this sort of thing that kind of creates and helps, makes it uncomfortable in a sense. Right after we come back from the break, I'll explain what I'm talking about. Because we need to take this break because, you know, you and I keep talking and we'll forget about this. The producer will go on the window and knock on there and say, hey, come on. Okay, let's take a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
As iron sharpens iron, this is Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
When you need a lasting remembrance of a loved one, you can spend thousands of dollars on an engraved monument, benchmarker, keepsake urn, or flag case. Or you could get the exact same engraved monument at a far lower cost from Cascade Monuments. Right now, explore even bigger savings during Cascade Monuments' anniversary event. Cascade Monuments ships throughout the United States and Canada. Shop online at cascademonuments.com.
Looking for another option for your internet service? Need a more reliable, high-speed internet? StarTouch is the premier provider of wireless broadband to businesses, government entities, schools, and residential customers in the Pacific Northwest. In fact, the talk show ministry you're listening to right now uses StarTouch as our internet provider. Experience the StarTouch difference. Get a free quote by visiting StarTouch.com.
Could it possibly be that we simply can't believe that this unconditional kind of love would be enough to take a filthy wretch like this and wrap him up in righteousness? But that's exactly what he did. No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio, and you know, during the break, we're talking about. I just didn't want to lose this thought that I had, but you know, and Eric, you know, fill in here if I start to, you know,
sure,
pause too long. but here's the deal: is that we want to be real, okay? And being real is being able to to look at things the way that they are, as they've been in my life, as I'm not going to speak for Eric, as they possibly could have been in his life, as I know, as I've talked to other men in this area, that is in their lives. But so often we bring, as I mentioned earlier, other things with us to the bedroom, mm-hmm. okay? And things may be right with me and my wife at that moment in time, but not everything is right in my life. It's not necessarily, I may have a secret sin that's taking place. Mm-hmm. And it may be a sexual secret sin. It may have to be that I don't have a pornography problem because I don't go to the internet or look at those type of things, but I'll lust over a woman that I see.
Right.
And when I'm wherever I'm at and have my thoughts go with that, which might lead to a point in my day of masturbating. Mm-hmm. Which I believe is a sin because that's part of, you know, I'm not with my wife. I'm with this other woman that I'm thinking of.
Right. So you have a couple issues going on there. One, you know, you're right. You're not with your wife. What you have going on in the theater of your mind is another person.
Yes.
Jesus says you lust after another woman. You've already committed adultery in your heart.
Amen.
And that's what's going on there. And then we also have the issue of the fact that the Apostle Paul says that my body does not belong to me.
Yes.
It belongs to my wife.
Yes.
My wife's body does not belong to her. It belongs to me. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say that I get to demand things of her and she gets to demand things of,
that's right.
of me. It's about a mutual respect and submission and fulfillment of pleasure. So when I take what is meant for my wife and I will say spend it elsewhere,
right.
then I'm in the realm of sinning.
You know, you're in that same ballpark in 1 Corinthians, again, in chapter 7, where it talked about that the wife's body does not belong to her alone, but also to her husband, okay? In the same way, the husband's body does not belong to him alone, but also to his wife. It says in verse 5, do not deprive each other except by mutual consent and for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Then come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. That statement right there, that last verse, is almost a green light for guys to say, see, you need to have sex with me. No. Sometimes we're broken vessels. And there's been experiences and challenges in people's lives that maybe your wife has never even shared with you yet because she is so, just is not there of being able to do this sort of thing. There's nothing impossible for God to be able to take care of and to do. But we need to have it on his timing, not ours. It's his timing that is perfect, not ours. And when he's talking about this part that we actually, where it says, do not deprive each other except for by mutual consent and for a time. I've done a little bit of study on that verse. And that's talking about when the woman is having her monthly flow, so to speak. Okay, that you pray during that time, okay, so that the enemy doesn't get involved here. You may have this desire, brother, I remember being of youthful age and sort of thing, you know, God, I'm going to just bust here. I'm going to die if I don't get this taken care of. And you end up doing the things that you feel are necessary, which in some cases, you look toward masturbation as being it. And, you know, again, once again, the enemy will do everything he can to be able to get a foothold into our lives because he's here on this earth for one reason only, and he's in your life for one reason only, to kill you, to steal from you, and destroy you, plain and simple.
Yeah. I haven't done the study that you have done on that, but in my reading of it, I see that the menstrual cycle is a factor there.
Mm-hmm.
But I also see that it can also be a relational factor.
Yes. Yes.
You know, we have things that go on inside of our relationships. You know, we have hurts. We
yes.
have there could be any number of reasons, but God specifies that when we separate, you know, from the from sexual intercourse
yes.
for a time,
yes.
that it's important that we be devoted to prayer and to be seeking Him above all things, and you know, and being able to take care of what needs to be taken care of in a godly way, yes. so that we can come back together.
Yes, and again, so often, and the fact is that when we bring the Lord into the bedroom with us, into our intimacy with our wives, I mean, that's we just have to acknowledge Him, and in doing so. I'm telling you, that's where the healing begins, because then all of a sudden that's going to lead into when you're not in that intimate state of being more comfortable with praying with your wife and for your wife aloud and her praying for you. And then you together praying for your families, okay, and situations. But I'm going to tell you, so often we bring stuff from our past that sometimes has not been spoken of. This doesn't mean that all of a sudden you need to say, okay, what's the matter with you or what's going on? You know, did something take place? There very well may have been, but brother, do you like being demanded to give up some information that, you know, because somebody says, I want you to tell me what that is or why it is like this? Come on. Jesus leads us to Him through His kindness mm-hmm. and His love. His love. Love is accepting, okay? And it's not, anyway, it's not keeping a record of wrongs. So often, so many things that take place. And we come to, again, the marriage bed, okay, with some of our own stuff. And I will tell you this, it may not all be taken care of, may not all be right, but God will make it right for you and your wife. For those of you who decide to seek in Him a healing and following Him and being obedient to Him today, I'm telling you, He will bless you and bless your wife. He wants you to enjoy and to be the very best husband that you can be, and He wants your wife to be the very best wife she can be for you.
Yeah, amen. And, you know, I've heard people say that, you know, they talk about window shopping. You know, it's like the kind of shopping that you do where, you know, you're just looking at the thing with no intention of buying.
Yes.
And we tend to use this analogy as, you know, looking at other women. Mm-hmm. But hey, and then we say, oh, but it's not that big of a deal because, you know, you come home to your wife and you expend all that sexual energy there, right?
Yes.
And that's, you know, this is once again, you're bringing, we're bringing things from outside the marriage and bringing it into the sacred marriage bed and defiling it, you know, because what we have as men is we have a theater in our mind.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie player, it doesn't just naturally shut off, okay? And so we bring these images in with us, and we may, you know, we may be even thinking about the item that we saw window shopping while we're lying with our wife. Well, what we're doing then is we're turning our wives into pieces of meat for our gratification.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, our heart is somewhere else. So I just want to dispel that whole myth about, you know, window shopping.
Yes.
Because it really is, you know, it's taking what belongs to my wife and it's giving it to somebody else.
Yes.
You know, and it goes even beyond that, you know, where I know as guys, we'll even try to bring pornography into the bedroom in order to quote unquote stimulate things.
Yes. Yes.
You know, and so what we have here is just a more concrete version of what we've already done in our mind.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, so okay, we'll say, oh, wait, but my wife says it's okay, you know, mutually exclusive, right? You know, it's both of us are thinking the same thing, and she said it's okay, and so it must be okay, so let's go ahead and do that. We'll bring pornography into the bedroom and stimulate things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, even if whether you've convinced your wife that that's the case,
yeah,
or she has brought that idea into the bedroom herself, the fact remains that we're the spiritual leaders of our house, not just at the dinner table,
right,
but also
right.
in the bedroom,
right.
You know,
And this is, you bring up a good point. I'm mindful of this because sometimes it's not necessarily just the man that has this challenge. Sometimes the woman has the challenge. She is lustful. She is the one that is thinking that this is the sort of thing that gets her aroused and gets her going, so to speak, and that this is okay. And it may not be okay with you, but you may think, hey, I'm the man. I should be able to handle this and take care of this. But it may not feel right. And that's back mm-hmm. to the consent. Consent is between two people, two parties, two thoughts, two minds, right? Not just one. You don't have to have your own consent, you know. You make a decision to do something. But consent is a mutual thing between at least two, okay?
Yeah, and I would actually bring in a third right here because we are following God. And he has brought into this equation what he says is good and right and
right.
pure and holy.
And that's where I was going with this thing. And that's where I believe what needs to take place sometimes, brother, that you are actually willing to talk about this sort of thing with your wife when you're not in a position to, you know, when you're both naked or in the bed or you're deciding that this is what you want to do. That's not the time to bring this stuff up. But you talk about it when you're just together, maybe on a date night. Okay, mm-hmm. and you talk about the bedroom. You talk about these things that are, is this permissible? Is this something you believe that God wants us to be doing? Is this, I mean, that is the time to do it. You want to be a mighty man of God? Well, be trusting in him even more. He's the one that has all the answers. He's the one that will guide you. He's the one that will bless you. And if it comes from you, it's coming from the wrong God. So, anyway.
Well, that's true. I'll tell you, this hour has gone by pretty quickly.
Pretty quick.
And I'll tell you, I've got a couple pages of notes. We didn't even
Don't
get
lose
to
them.
Any of them.
I know.
So we might have to do a part two on this one.
It may just, and we don't know when we'll do that, but we'll get to it.
Yeah.
So anyway, how about you pray for our brothers who are listening?
Oh, Heavenly Father, I just ask for your blessing on the brothers today. God, I thank you for your word and how it guides us. God, I thank you that you are a good and loving God, and you are pure and just and holy. Father, I ask that you would lead us in being men of the same accord, Father, not just in the world, but also, Father, in our families and in the marriage bed as well. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.